Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Dwayne from Dwayne's Top Shelf Farmers Market and Julie from Farm 779. Welcome and good morning.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Good morning. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah. So I always like to start my show by asking my guests to tell me a little bit about themselves. So two questions. Dwayne, we'll start with you. How did you get to Alaska and how did you get involved in Alaskan agriculture?
Well, I met my wife in college in South Carolina.
Okay.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, and then we moved here in 2000.
Okay. And was she an Alaskan?
Yes.
She imported you.
Yes. Yeah. She grew up here, and I visited several times, and we decided to call Palmer home.
Okay. Very good. And did you always know that you were going to be a farmer or involved in farmers markets, et cetera?
No. I had some training in carpentry.
Okay.
And those skills. And so those are handy all around farming as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Didn't grow up on a farm or anything?
A small farm. Farmette, you might call it.
Okay.
My folks had about a half an acre with some property behind us that we could use.
Big garden.
Yes, big garden, pony and some goats.
Sounds like a nice childhood.
It was a great start.
Yeah, very good. And what about you, Julie? How'd you get to Alaska agriculture?
This is my second time in Alaska. The first time I was up here was in 1990.
Okay.
Went back to Seattle for 17 years and came back when I met my husband, Pierre, who is a fourth-generation civil engineer from Fairbanks.
Wow.
I grew up on a ranch in Montana. It was a large cattle ranch. My mother grew gardens. We didn't buy things from the store if we didn't need them. So this has always been in my heritage. I just kind of forgot it for a while.
Okay.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I've got you and your attention, tell us what your role is at the farmer's market. You're a vendor at Dwayne's Market, right?
I'm a vendor in Dwayne's Market. I'm in farmer's markets because of Dwayne.
Okay.
Actually, I had a business here in Palmer, and there was a little market across the street at the depot.
Right.
And I walked over there one day, and the nicest person I met in my life was Dwayne.
Okay.
And I was kind of, I really wanted to meet this person and talk to him and get to know about these markets.
Yeah. So. And tell us a little bit more about Farm 779.
Farm 779 began as a peony farm. That was going to be our retirement. And as many people know, it's not easy. But peony farming is not easy. So we expanded it. We do grow a lot of shallots, garlic, cut flowers, kale, cabbage, things like that.
Okay.
And when I started in markets, following Dwayne around, I got back to my father's Eastern European heritage of fermentation.
Yeah.
Started working with people trying to rebuild their bodies, and it just kind of came back to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your primary product now then, the kefirs and the krauts and those types of things?
Coconut kefir, yes, which is a non-dairy product. We're completely vegan and gluten-free in our fermentation business. We're a value-added vendor, so we buy the ugly vegetables from the other vendors at the various markets that we're in at retail price. We pay this. Yeah, we're
good
adamant
for you.
About
that's
that.
A, that's a big
We want to make
effort.
Sure they stay in business.
Yeah.
We can do that because we recycle all of our glass.
Oh, okay.
So that balances out the cost differential, which is pretty huge if you're in business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coconut kefir, what is that?
Coconut kefir is a lacto-fermented coconut puree. It's actually quite expensive to produce up here because we have to ship it up here and it's heavy. It is a whole food probiotic, and we started making that for a friend of mine who was going through chemotherapy, and she was not doing well.
Okay.
Her immune system was basically shot, as happens.
Sure.
She didn't want to eat. She didn't want to eat. A couple of bites of food a day was what she was eating, so we actually put the coconut kefir in her TPN feeding bag.
Wow.
We would get her back as far as brain function.
Sure.
They call chemo brain. We were able to have a little bit of a discussion. I knew when she would joke with me and laugh, she was about done. But that's when I really got interested in kefir specifically.
Yeah.
The Lactobacillus plantarum, which is the top tier of probiotics that you can put in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, we will chat more about that. Now, Dwayne, you're the manager of Dwayne's Top Shelf Market. Is that the whole name? Dwayne's
Yes, Duane's Top Shelf Artisan Market, okay. And we also call it Thankful Thursday.
That's right. I knew there was another piece to that.
It is.
I just tagged you guys in a post on Facebook about the show, and what is that full name? So tell us more about the market. Where are you located? When? How much? How often?
Every Thursday, we're at the mall that is formerly the Mall at Sears.
Okay.
Now it's called the Midtown Mall.
Right. There in Anchorage.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's some great things happening even now as we speak. REI is moving down from Spinard area to the mall, Midtown Mall.
That's great.
So every Thursday, 10 to 6, we set up there at the mall.
Yeah. And how many vendors this time of year? Snow arrived, winter arrived this week. So.
It is. And we've been blessed with five of us as vendors.
Okay.
And we're becoming better known.
Okay.
And patience pays off.
Yeah. And intend to be year-round, right?
It is. It is. We're year-round. Last week, we just had our third-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
For the Thursday, the Thankful Thursday market.
Very good. Very good. And so tell us about the other vendors that are there year-round besides Julian Farm 779.
Yes. Lately, we've had Harvest Point Farms, Point McKenzie.
They're growing a bunch of different lettuces and things under high tunnels.
Yes. They've got some greenhouse high tunnels, and they do a fantastic job.
I've heard that.
You know, we've been enjoying their lettuces, salads at home, and it lasts a good week or two in the fridge, and we're just really enjoying that.
Not like that 3 days you get out of this stuff at the grocery store.
No, nothing like that. and the fresh sprouts that they're able to raise, sunflower shoots, and also some
culinary lavender.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The culinary lavender, they're really doing a great job
with
that.
Very good. Is your market the only place where they're selling right now?
That is.
Okay.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yeah,
all right. So
they joined us here as the summer markets were winding down.
Okay. Are they going to grow through the winter, do you know? Unfair question, but yeah.
They are planning to grow guaranteed through Christmas.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You can have salad with your Thanksgiving dinner this year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's awesome. And who else is there with you?
Also, we've got Elderberry Essentials.
Okay.
Kate does a fantastic job with a elderberry syrup.
Okay.
Which the benefits of elderberry are fantastic.
Ooh.
And she blends some other nutritional fruits with that.
Okay.
And
have to get her on the show to learn more.
She does a fantastic
job.
Yeah,
very good. Very good. And Duane, what is your background? Other than being the farmer's market manager, are you a farmer yourself? Are you buying from other growers? I know you used to be farming. So what are you up to now?
You know, years ago, we used to raise the fresh-shelled peas here in the valley.
Right.
And that discontinued 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And we raised cattle. This time, we've been raising cattle. And we're right on the edge of Palmer here.
Yeah.
Heading towards the airport.
People always wonder whose cows they are.
They are.
They're Duane's
and
cows.
And my father-in-law has been raising those, and I work with him very tight. And it's been a good transition, even though peas went away.
Sure.
The beef and our hay fields are, you know, prime spot in Palmer.
Absolutely.
And really nice beef we get to raise.
Absolutely. If people want to know more about that product in particular, do you want to provide any contact information, or do you have a waiting list right now? Are you looking for more customers?
I'm looking for more customers, and we're able to supply that.
Yeah. Is that available at the market on Thursdays,
or
is that a separate?
I do. I sell individual cuts, and then I'm able to work with packages by special order.
Very good.
And that works very well.
Okay. Do you want to give any contact info? Or are you on Facebook with
through
that
product? Our Facebook page, Duane's Top Shelf Artisan Market, / Thankful Thursday.
Okay.
And that reaches us.
Okay, perfect. Well, a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Duane from Duane's Top Shelf Thankful Thursday Farmers Market out of Anchorage, and Julie from Farm 779. And Julie, your farm is here in Palmer, is that correct?
We're on Lazy Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
We're about 14 miles up. We sit right above, 200 feet above the bench of the river. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
There. It reminds me a lot of, and this is why we purchased the property, the ranch that I started my life on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just, it's like I'm going to die here.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. And so you mentioned when you were introducing your farm and what you were doing that you started out with peonies. Do you still have any peonies in the ground?
We have about 5,000 peony plants.
Oh,
and we actually, I went through some medical issues four or five years ago, and through acupuncture was prescribed peony root tea. So
wow.
I have taken our peony business in that direction.
Okay.
The flower business is fun.
Sure.
It's pretty tight though. And it's
margins are tight.
Margins are very tight. We sell some of our blooms in the summer market that we're in on Saturdays.
Okay.
But I'm really focused on bao chai.
Okay.
Which is the tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So do you have to then destroy the root, dig up the root, and that plant is gone to create the tea? Or
we take a portion of the root. Peonies are pretty hard to kill. You have to be pretty focused on taking them out.
Unless you're Mother Nature, right? And we get one of these crazy winters. But
what happened May 4 years ago, it was nice and warm and beautiful, and then we got snow, and then it melted and froze, and that took out a third of our peony crop, which we've recovered from splitting and replanting.
Sure.
But yeah, there is a technique to it. You just don't go out and dig up your peonies.
Sure.
Make
tea. Yeah.
We have turned it into a kombucha tea.
Okay.
With chaga. So it's it's really beneficial.
So are you selling that in like a dry powdered form or a liquid form or how?
No,
how
we sell it by the small and large growlers in Anchorage.
Okay.
And the thing about this tea is you don't want to drink a lot of it. So if you can get a different kombucha, and there's a wonderful kombucha company here in Palmer, 203.
They're going to be on the show in a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah. His product is phenomenal. And you can take an ounce of ours and mix it in with theirs and then and drink a whole glass of that.
Okay.
And you're cool. You don't want to drink a whole glass of my tea.
Okay. And why is that? What's it doing to you?
The bacteria content is too high.
Okay. Good bacteria, I assume.
The good bacteria, but there's something called die-off that if you've never had it, you don't want to experience it. It's like the flu.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it.
You're flushing your system out, so to speak?
You really are with a high-pressure hose. And I did it once just to see what it was like.
Okay.
You know, like with childbirth, it's like you're going to feel a little pressure. That's not pressure. That hurts. So don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So available, you said, at the market in like growler form.
Yep.
Very. And what did you call that product?
Bao chai.
Bao chai.
Yeah,
okay.
We call it peony chaga. Because it we do a lot of education, and that's a lot of what this market specializes in. If you want to come in like elderberries, if you want to know what they are, Kate will take the time to talk to you. If you don't understand lactofermentation and the benefits, I will talk to you. If you don't understand grass-fed beef, he will talk
Absolutely.
To you. So, yeah, that's a lot of the benefit of this market is
Absolutely.
The educational value.
Yeah, and I think that's why, in my opinion, why farmers markets have been so successful in this state and a nationwide trend in growth in farmers markets is that people want to get back to their food. They want to know where their food came from. They want to be able to look someone in the eye and ask questions. Is this organic? Is this natural? Was the cow happy? All those things, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've been involved, Duane, in farmers markets in Alaska for quite a while, even before this. You launched this market, right?
Yes. And that's part of what got me here as well. While we were doing the peas, that opened up into opportunity. Back in the day, 2000, there was only one farmers market, downtown 3rd and C.
Yeah.
And it's just multiplied several times through the Anchorage area.
Yeah.
And,
2005, there were 13 farmers markets in the entire state. This year, there were 51. Yeah.
That we knew of.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That chose to register their market with the State Division of Agriculture and list their hours, et cetera. Right.
Yep.
Incredible opportunity for people, particularly in Anchorage. I think there's a market every single day of the week in the summer, isn't there?
Just about.
Yeah. Yeah. But you guys have the unique, I know your market is a little bit unique. At some farmers markets, you might go to a booth and it might not actually be the farmer selling the product, right?
Correct.
Yeah. But at your market, do you just have vendors that are selling their own products?
It is. We're not copying over on others.
Yeah. So. No wholesaling of products or anything like
that. Sure. That's working out well.
Yeah.
And then I'm also able to, local honey, I work with some bee producers.
Yeah.
And that works
very
well.
Very good. So talk to me about, it's exciting that REI is coming to the mall. I'm sure that's going to bring a lot more customers there, a lot more interest and just traffic through there. But talk to me about the future of the market. Do you have any plans for expansion or finding your own space? Or are you happy where you're at? Or what does the market look like 5 years from now, you think?
We're very satisfied at the mall. They've been a gracious host.
Yeah.
It works really well. Several years back.
Don't have
when,
to worry about parking.
No, it's good parking there.
Yeah.
When Car Safeway pulled out of that mall several years back, it really took a ding on our market.
I bet.
And that changed several things. They are now coming back to that mall at the other end.
Sure.
Splitting it with Guitar Center and Planet Fitness.
Oh, wow.
So even though REI is at one end, the other end's filling up, and
yeah,
that will be later 2019.
Okay, very good. So for now, you guys are happy, you want to be there. That's
a really nice place. It's in the crossroads of Midtown Anchorage.
Yeah.
That's a really fine place to have a market.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about where people, if they're not familiar with the market, if they haven't been there before, do you have a website, or are you primarily just using your Facebook page?
Using the Facebook.
Okay. All right. And Julie, what about your farm? How can people learn more about your product and what you've got going on?
Well, you have two stocking options for Farm 779.
Okay.
Instagram. We are
okay.
Farm 779 AK. And am I having fun with Instagram.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep.
And you can also find us on Facebook.
Okay.
I would like you to come find us at the mall so I can meet you and
absolutely
talk to you. I want to hear your story. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Thursdays, 10 to 6, year round, multiple vendors, lots of opportunities there and growth in the market, which is good.
One more vendor that we just got that we're thrilled to have. She was the head chocolatier for Modern Dwellers Chocolate Lounge, which has recently closed down,
right,
is Caudle and Gossett.
Yeah.
And Lindsay makes some fantastic professional grade truffles.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's reason enough.
That's reason right there to come in.
Check it out, right? That's great. Dwayne, are you currently looking for more vendors at the market? If someone's listening and they're looking for another outlet for their product, are you looking for more vendors?
We are.
Okay.
And we've had some great requests, and some people are not quite what we're looking for, but we're fairly selective.
Okay.
But as a health and wellness market, there's certain niches that really fit that.
Sure.
And we've got some great conversations already going, but we're not trying to be the biggest. It's really a work to be the finest.
Sure.
At what we do.
Yeah. And every market has their own niche, their own products that they're offering. And, you know, some markets have a bunch of different prepared food products that are there, and some markets have live music and, you know, different entertainment factors. And that's one of the cool things about traveling around to different farmers markets across the state, is seeing the different flair at that market. So you're pretty selective in who you invite into the market.
We are. And it's been working out so far, and we're excited with the growth just amongst ourselves in the last couple months.
Yeah, good. Very good. Well, Julie, I want to talk to you more about your the coconut kefir in particular, because that's a product that I've never tried. And so I wonder if you'd be willing to kind of walk us through what the ingredients are, how you get there, and then talk more about what it's doing to your body.
The ingredients are coconut puree, water, and bacteria culture.
Okay.
You're not getting stabilizers. You're not getting unnecessary products. You're not getting citric acid.
Okay.
Which is actually black mold.
Okay.
That comes in a lot of your canned coconut products.
Oh, okay.
Again, a lot of my customers are cancer patients.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They can't deal with that.
Sure.
So,
what does it look like? Paint a picture for us.
It looks like bubbly white milk.
Okay.
When it's done, it's got a very strong sulfur smell, and that's a thing I get more feedback on than anything. And my answer is just open it outside till you're used to it.
Okay.
To my palate, it tastes like a very strong buttermilk.
Okay.
It's also got a fizzy texture on your tongue because the bacteria is so prolific.
Okay.
It's not easy to get a culture that thrives on sugar to cultivate in fat.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people I can make this at home, and it's like, try it.
Yeah.
You know, see what happens. But a lot of times that you end up having to add sugar or very sugary fruit so that bacteria can have something to eat.
Right.
And that's if you use canned coconut milk, you're going to have to do that.
Okay.
Because there's just no food for the bacteria.
Yeah.
We encourage people to eat it at night, right before you lay your head down to go to sleep. That way the bacteria has 6 to 12 hours, depending on your sleep cycle, to go after the sugar, starches, and simple carbohydrates you consume during the day.
Okay.
And when it's done doing that, it goes into the walls of your colon, where you may have been carrying
stuff
for years.
Yeah.
Years and years.
Yeah. So it's doing most of its work in like the small intestine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And it, you know, and I encourage people to check their first bowel movement of the morning. That tells you the tale.
Yeah.
You know, here's, look at all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
look at the different consistency and color. Bacteria, it's like when a baby, you take a baby in for a wellness check, they want to know.
They want to know all the details.
That should carry into our adult life.
Yeah. You know, it's something that we don't talk about very often, but you ought to talk about it more. I mean, I recently graduated from yoga school, and that was something that we learned a lot about, was what you take in, what comes out of your body, and what happens in between.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Well, another reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are Dwayne Clark from Dwayne's Top Shelf Thankful Thursday Farmers Market and Julie from Farm 779 here in Palmer. Thank you guys both again for being here. So let's talk a little bit more about the market itself. And remind me, Dwayne, how long has this market, this Thursday market, been around?
We just had our third-year anniversary.
Your third-year anniversary.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And before that, you were involved in a couple of other different markets.
Right? I have been.
Yeah.
Multiple other markets. I was part of the market that we broke off from, but it was there other days.
Yeah.
And
Is there another market in the mall?
There is.
Okay. All right. I was trying to remember if there was still a different market in that mall.
There is.
Yeah.
And I was involved in several of the other Saturday markets while we had the peas.
Yeah.
I was in the downtown. And then I was able to be part of the Muldoon Farmers Market. That's a fine group of folks that carry on a great market there.
Lots of markets. Again, I think we agreed that there's probably a farmers market every day of the week in Anchorage during the summer, which is great. I was talking about the economics of that one day, and we figured if 1,000 people an hour were visiting the different farmers markets across Anchorage on a Saturday, like that's a safe bet, right? 1,000 people.
It is.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then even that is not very many of Anchorage residents are actually going to a market. There's room for more of those people to be at the market, right?
And that's a phenomenal point that you bring up, and that's a big thing that we do with the marketing for Dwayne's Market is tell your friends.
Yeah.
My favorite tagline is stalk me on Facebook, you know, because people remember that. And it's like, oh, that's funny. They mention it to a friend.
Right.
It's word of mouth that gets us through.
Yeah.
We do advertise. We spend a lot of revenue on advertising. Mm-hmm. We've pretty much narrowed that down to who our people are.
Right.
You know, who cares about local economy? Who cares about Alaska?
Yeah.
Those are the people we want to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of that target audience for your market, you know, when I was at the Division of Agriculture managing the Alaska Grown Program, our target audience in all of our advertising was the female age 35 to 55. That's who does the primary grocery shopping, right?
Yep.
That's who we wanted to target those messages to. For the vendors that are at your market, do you think that's your target audience? Do you have vendors that are kid-friendly? Do you have vendors that, you know, like, is that who you're looking for? Is that primary grocery shopper?
It is.
Yeah.
But as Julie said, you know, there's folks with some health concerns, conditions, and it's not limited to age.
Sure.
And so they're very in tune with what we're trying to do. So it's not a real tight age group. We've got all age groups, and we got young families. You know, some of it's military, some of it's all local.
Sure.
Just fantastic folks.
Yeah,
they get some information. They read about us. They learn about us. They stop by, meet us. It's a really it's a great experience.
Well, and I'm sure the products themselves. You know, speak for themselves once somebody has tried products from your market. I mean, that's the biggest compliment that you can receive, right, as they come back to get that again. Yeah.
Our demographic, like you said, you just graduated from yoga school.
Yeah.
Okay. Part of my background is Ayurveda.
Oh, sure.
So my spice bases are Ayurveda. So I, rather than an age group, I will focus on logarithms to interests.
Oh, there you go.
Ayurveda, yoga, local economy.
Yep.
That Healthy spans, food. Yeah, but that spans all the age groups.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of young people that are interested in that.
Absolutely.
And older people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more people should be interested in it, right? Because it's such a beautiful thing to learn about.
Oh, Ayurveda is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yoga, we should all know.
I couldn't agree more. That just made it my total train of thought jump completely. No, that's okay. Now I'm thinking Yoga World, but that's okay. Do you have just a strict vegetable vendor at the market, Duane? Do you have someone that's just there with, you know, like this time of year, potatoes and winter squash and those types of products?
I'm able to work with a few providers.
Okay.
Vern Stockwell.
Oh, great.
I was able to work with him and carry some of his products for a while.
Yeah, good.
And that's working good.
Yeah, good.
And also, you know, Matt with Harvest Point, you know, he had a whole greenhouse dedicated to cauliflower.
Oh, nice.
And so he...
Still available now?
It is, because this late season has just carried it on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's been great.
So if a person were thinking forward to their Thanksgiving spread, how much of that meal could they get at your market?
A fair amount. You know, the potatoes, carrots are going to continue quite a while here.
Yeah.
And we're able to work with that.
Do you have an egg vendor at your market?
Eggs are up and down a little bit. We're fairly consistent with that.
Okay.
And so that, of course, so ours got into a molt the other week, and here we are.
Yeah.
But, yes.
So, Julie, what about with your farm? This is another question that I always like to kind of wrap the show up with. I kind of already challenged Duane on it, and I'll let you think on it a little bit more. But put your magic glasses on and look towards the future 5 years. What does Farm 779 look like then, or where do you hope to be?
We want to stay small.
Okay.
We have branched out to another state already.
Oh, really?
Again, my focus on Farm 779 and my husband Pierre also is education of people and small local economy. Getting big doesn't necessarily mean you made it.
Sure.
It means you have a whole lot more work and a whole lot more regulation and you need more insurance.
More employees, more hands,
yeah,
all those things.
I'm at the age now, we are both in the last part of our life, and we understand that. And we're looking at our legacy and what we're going to leave. And we want to leave wellness education.
Yeah.
Taking care of your own body, understanding how you get sick. You know, did you play a part in it? Where's your stress level? That's the biggest thing.
Right. Absolutely.
And helping people understand and rebuilding.
Yeah.
And rebuilding community.
Absolutely. I like it. What is Farm 779? Where does that name come from?
It comes back to the high tunnel I was talking about, knocking all the snow off. We had applied to the USDA for the high tunnel program.
Okay.
And as I mentioned earlier, Pierre is a civil engineer. He builds targets.
Okay.
He designed and built our 70-foot high tunnel.
Okay.
We built that thing for under $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's 5 years old now. It's in two pieces now. But, yeah, that's how we started. They called us Farm 779 rather than by our name, and it just kind of stuck.
Okay.
We liked it.
Very good. All right, Duane, and to wrap things up, on your personal farm there with the cattle, do you have any vision for the future, what that looks like? Do you have the next generation lined up with your family? They want to carry on the farm?
It's working out so far. Just with working with the hay, that takes quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
And we're able to carry that into the winter.
Yeah.
So a lot of it comes down to me and my father-in-law. He's doing great. That doesn't mean he's not getting a little bit older.
Yeah, and I see him at the basketball court.
Absolutely.
Weekly.
he can't stay away from ref and basketball.
Yeah.
That's his standby.
Yeah.
So good. That works really good.
Good. Well, I want to take a minute to thank you both for being here on Ag Matters Radio this morning. It's been a pleasure to learn more about Duane's Top Shelf Farmers Market and Julie Farm 779. I look forward to trying that coconut kefir sometime.
I'll make sure you have some.
All right.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.